Welcome back to the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Get Ebling back on the phone. I want to continue that conversation. In the meantime, 393-3700. That's the number to call if you want to call in. We got Jerry from Hazlitt. Jerry, what's up, man?
Too much, Dave. I'd be happy to hold if you want another piece of Jack.
No. We got to get him on the line first. So by all means, give your piece before he comes back and then doesn't give us a chance to talk.
I agree. You know, I agree with some of the points. I disagree. Here's the situation. I do. I agree with you. The relative talent of any player in this issue is completely irrelevant. Okay, and I would apply that to both sides. I've heard people portray Coach D'Antonio as wanting to reinstate him because he's a talented player.
See,
and I've heard the detractors say that you shouldn't really worry about reinstating him because he's not that good anyway.
And Jared, I'd like to put in the disclaimer there too before you continue, and I'll let you finish your point.
Sure.
I don't think the reason that he's reinstating him is because he wants to win this game. I don't think that's the situation. I think D'Antonio's a better person than that. I just would like to know the reason behind why he's doing it. But anyway, continue with your point.
Okay. The issue of zero tolerance, it's funny. When I think about it, I wouldn't even chop off the word zero. I think he got in trouble with that whole phrase to begin with. I would ask just simply, what does tolerance mean?
Yeah.
Just in general. I mean, anybody that comes out in a public forum and uses that particular statement knows what the public and the media and the listeners are going to understand it to mean. Okay, most of us perceive zero tolerance as the next time you screw up, you're gone.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if there was some nuance in there, then maybe somebody should have pointed it out at the time. But I think that's where I agree with Jack. That's where he got in trouble, and I think Coach D'Antonio has to be a little bit more skillful. One last point.
Yeah, go ahead.
I disagree with you that the first offense in a season is going to be automatic dismissal.
I didn't say dismissal. I said suspension for the year. To prove that you can act as a responsible student.
Being a responsible athlete
is a privilege.
I misspoke in terminology.
No, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Suspension for the season in any event.
Okay.
I think it's an idea. I think in a law school classroom, that's fine. It's just not a part of the current college football landscape. And if you're going to apply it, then you better well institute an NCAA code of conduct across the board, because no big-time college football school is going to put their players, talented or otherwise, and then their own program at a disadvantage if other schools aren't going to comply at the
same time. Totally agree with you, and thanks for the call, Jerry. I totally agree. My statement about suspensions for first offense DUIs is a blanket statement over the whole country. I'm not saying Michigan State should do that. I'm saying everybody should do it. But I want to bring Jack back in, because, Jack, I think you were making some good points. I know we're arguing about it, but I like listening to your side of the story. I want to hear more about it. So share some more of your opinion about the situation.
Well, I don't know what my side of the story really is. I don't have it defined, Dave, because I still need more information. And I think I have a lot more information on it than most people. But when we talk about Chris L. Rucker and his mindset, I go back to Scott Skiles. Now, he had four opportunities, and he's turned out pretty well in a lot of ways. He would have been gone under most coaches, including himself. I asked him, what would you have done with you? He said, I would have suspended me. Well, that would have been the end of Scott Skiles. I think about Muhsin Mohammed, who's turned into an exemplary citizen. Now, you can have a lot of other cases.
I was about to say, you could argue the other way as well, but...
You know, guys, sometimes they don't get it. And that's up for the coach to determine. And if you don't like what the coach does, then replace the coach. But the coach that you entrust to run the program is going to make the best judgments he can. And if you think Mark D'Antonio is only concerned with winning and losing, and that's all he cares about, then I think you know a different Mark D'Antonio than I do.
I never said that I think that's the reason that he's bringing him back. I don't know what the reason is. I'm not trying to speculate what the reason is. What I'm saying is, I don't agree with his decision. That's all I'm saying. I'm not claiming that I know Mark D'Antonio. I'm not claiming that I know Chris L. Rucker, or that I understand from an inside point of view the situation. I'm just looking at it from a grand scheme like most fans are,
right,
and I admit
right.
that. I totally admit
I
that.
I can understand why fans would see that
yes.
and why they would evaluate it that way. I would think that if they brought him back later in the season and gave him a four-game suspension. Now, what happens with most coaches here, Dave, is that when someone is arrested, they continue to play until the legal system exacts its penalty.
And I also agree with that.
That didn't happen here. When this happened on a Saturday night, Mark D'Antonio volunteered the information the next day that Chris L. Rucker had been suspended. And he missed time until his situation was adjudicated in the court of law, and he paid his price to society. Now, is he going to pay a double jeopardy price? That is the question. He's already missed games for this. This is his senior year. It obviously has paid a tremendous price, and it will when he goes to the combine or when NFL teams look at him. They're going to evaluate that. But Mark D'Antonio, when he talked to Chris L. Rucker, thought that this kid was salvageable and decided that that was what he was going to do. He made the tough decision. The easy decision, the simple decision, the popular decision would have been to kick this guy off the team
totally.
And play hardline with
him. I agree. I you know what? I don't disagree with you on some of these points. And like I said, I admit that I don't know the whole story. I don't. And I would be willing to admit that. I just think, I just put DUIs or drunken driving or anything of that nature with alcohol and getting into a car on such a
sure.
low level
right.
that I think that it needs to be punished, especially in a situation where you were already on probation. And whatever happened at Rather Hall happened at Rather Hall. I'm not gonna cut at his character because of that situation. But the bottom line is, he was on probation.
Right.
He knew he was on probation.
Absolutely.
And he should not have drank and got in the car.
Well,
that's my argument,
you're right,
and
that's
all.
For a lot of people who would look at that situation, they would say, two strikes, you're out. If you look at the situation of what happened in both of those incidents, he is guilty. He is guilty of gross stupidity.
When
he went to Rather Hall, he went as part of a group, and he did not punch anybody. All right?
Yes.
He was there. He was certainly complicit in that. He was where he shouldn't have been, and he was involved in an ugly incident. When he was getting in his car, first of all, the mistake was having alcohol. He's not supposed to do
totally
that.
Totally agree.
Second of all, he blew .095, which was more than he should have been drinking, if he should have been drinking at all.
Right.
Then he got in his car, which was parked at the 7-Eleven, and moved it across the street because there was free parking over there in that garage, and if he had parked the car over there, he moved it about 75 yards total.
In my opinion, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But go ahead.
That's
continue
fine.
With your story.
I think that is a little different than being .28 and cruising down the highway.
Oh, I'm not putting him on the level of a Grady by any means. But the bottom line is, you drink and you get in the car and you drive when
right.
you are already on probation. And look, I'm realistic. It's college. Even if you're on probation, I know people that drink while they're on probation. But the bottom line is, you should be thinking in your head, okay, what's going to get me in trouble? I've got
you
a little bit
be,
of time left to go in my senior
be.
Year.
Everyone knows what should have happened.
Yes.
And let's hope that the majority of people would have been a little smarter than Chris L. Rucker. But he has paid a severe price.
Oh, without a doubt.
He spent five days in jail. He has missed two football games. And his reputation is crap.
I agree with you, but I just would have probably suspended him for longer.
I would have suspended him for longer, too. I think we agree on that. The question is whether his career would have ended as a result of it. And I think that's a determination I can't make. Only the head coach can make, and if you don't like the determination, change head coaches.
Fair enough. You know what? Let's leave it there. Let's move on, because we've been talking about Chris L. Rucker for a while. Before we go to break and we go to our picks afterwards, I want to get your take on some of the other national games that are going on. We
right.
touched on USC and Oregon a little bit. I think this could be a closer game than people think. I love Mac Barkley. I think he's
right.
a great quarterback. I think I'd rather have him than anybody. Is there a way, even though they have the problem of Lane Kiffin as a head coach, is there a way you think that Monty Kiffin can dial up some sort of defense that will actually get some stops against Oregon?
Well, they haven't stopped a strong breeze so far, so whatever Monty Kiffin is capable of doing, he left it in Tampa. I think that's going to be a very high-scoring game. I don't think USC can stop Oregon enough, but I do think USC is going to score a lot of points in this game. And I think you're going to see Matt Barkley hit Ronald Johnson a couple times for touchdowns.
I think he does that every week, basically.
I would say Oregon will win this game something like 45-34.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think it's definitely an upset watch to keep an eye on, but at the same time, I think that's a fair assessment with maybe an Oregon pull away in the second half. Let's move over to Nebraska and Missouri.
Yep.
Missouri, talk about a tough little gauntlet there. You play Oklahoma, get that big win, and now you got to go on the road to play Lincoln. What do you think their chances are?
Well, I didn't have the stones last week to finish what I said and pick Missouri, so I've been slapping myself for that. I thought Missouri would play a great game against Oklahoma and just come up one play short because they didn't know how to finish. They obviously showed me they do, but I don't think that means they're going to go into Lincoln and win this game. And I think coming off that emotional high, everyone's been telling them how great they are, and Nebraska's got something to prove, too, coming off its last game. So I look for Nebraska to win this game. I think Missouri's a very good team, not a great team. I think you got two very good teams here, and playing in Lincoln is too much for Missouri to overcome.
We were talking about this earlier today, Tom and I were, for a while, and we were trying to rate, because of his article that he wrote on his blog, we were trying to rate where exactly we think the Big Ten is as far as strength goes with other conferences.
Right.
I have them at third, right behind, very close to Pac-10, as second, and then the SEC at first. Where do you rank the Big Ten at this point?
One.
You think they're better than the SEC?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I'll tell you why.
No, go for it.
They're
I'm
the
intrigued.
Only conference that has three of the top 11 teams in the BCS. I think Iowa is the best of the four teams. I still believe that, even though they gave a game away last week under some ridiculous circumstances. But I still think Iowa's the best of those four teams. I think Illinois has a chance to be a 10-win team before this is over. I think Michigan would scare a lot of teams around the country. They wouldn't want to face Denard Robinson. I think that when you have six of the top 20 quarterbacks in the country, according to the latest statistics, we haven't seen that in the Big Ten before.
No.
I think the SEC is down this year, and everyone talks about the Pac-10. Obviously, Oregon is very good, and there are some other teams that are good, but how good is UCLA? I'm not convinced. How good is Cal?
And
how
I
good
agree
is
with
Washington?
That. Yep, I agree with that. And that's why I said it's really hit or miss. I went back and forth with the 2-3 rating. I still think the SEC is the best just because that West is so strong, and as bad of a season as Florida and Georgia are having.
Well, how bad is the East?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. As good as the West is and as bad as the East has been, you still got South Carolina there. You've got Kentucky winning some games. And I just think when you have a conference that has three legitimate national champion contenders in week 7 and 8, I think you're a pretty good conference.
Well, I think if you put the top teams in those conferences together, say the top four, and you played, it would be pretty even. Maybe Auburn would be better. Maybe Auburn wouldn't be better. I've seen Auburn have a lot of close games. Won three games by 3 points apiece, five games by 8 points or less. Auburn's not an unbeatable team. In fact, I don't think Auburn's going to finish the season undefeated.
No, I agree. They're going to lose to Alabama, no doubt about it.
So, and we saw Alabama. They stumbled. A lot of teams are capable of stumbles. And the team that survives and goes through this at the end without a loss, you know, we may only have one of those.
I agree. All right, well, when we come back, we're going to do the picks for this week. We've got Tom's picks, we got Jack's picks, and I may give some picks in there as well. It's the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.